Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, you heard, and it was rather damning, I thought, in Jim Colony's update, what Jim Rutherford had to say yesterday about this team having no drive or not enough drive or not enough thrust to kind of get through a playoff game whenever they needed to. It was a do-or-die situation. They needed to win to stay alive. Jim Rutherford also spoke of the core and keeping it intact. What did he say? Hear it.
I plan to move forward with the core. You know, these are good players. And they still have good hockey left in them.
Okay. Crosby, Malkin, Letang, one would think is the core, and they still have good hockey left in them. And I guess you could throw Gensel into that mix as well. I don't know where else that stretches out to, but that to me would be probably the core. I get that there's a cap crunch. I get that you're at about 68 mil on an 81.5 cap right now is what your projected payroll is about 68 right now. But Sid, Gino, Letang, you take Sid and Gino, I can buy it. Letang, I don't know why you're so steadfastly tied to him. He has a contract that, for me, kind of looks much like Kessel's, where it would be tough to move him, but you could if you really wanted to. Chris, I'm not understanding why there is a, I am married to him being in Pittsburgh situation with Chris Letang right now.
I'm not sure either, unless that's a directive coming down from ownership, because we know ownership is said in the past that they don't want Crosby or Malkin finishing their careers anywhere else. I'm sorry. Chris Letang may have good hockey left in him, and I'm not sitting here telling you that he doesn't necessarily have good hockey left in him. I just don't see how at this point it's the best possible fit for the Pittsburgh Penguins with Mike Sullivan as their head coach, because Chris Letang has shown us time and time again that If there's an irresponsible play to be made in the attempt to create offense, he is likely to make it. And if he is going to try to play more responsibly, he loses all his offensive potency. We saw that in the Montreal series. So what purpose is Chris Letang serving? If he's going to be the guy chewing up 25 minutes a night, well, it better be because he can play both ends of the ice effectively. And I just don't see him getting any better at that at this point in his career as a 33-year-old.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. He's 33 years old. And here's the argument I hear all the time, and the one that people hold themselves to, is, man, well, who's going to take Chris Letang's minutes? Chris Letang plays a lot of minutes. Who's gonna jump up and play Letang's minutes, especially because Schultz is out the door? And we'll talk about Schultz in just a couple minutes. Well, there's a couple arguments to offset that. One, maybe Chris Letang at 33 is playing too many minutes. Perhaps that's what's going on right now. And two, not necessarily matching the minutes, but getting to the point where you can trust him to play more minutes and meet in the middle somewhere. Why can't Marino's minutes spike just a little bit next year?
Forget just a little bit, Colin. John Marino's, and maybe I'm overselling what he did in the Montreal series too much and what he did in his rookie year, but I haven't seen, there's not enough people talking about what John Marino did as a rookie defenseman at the age of 23 when the bulk of fans had no idea who John Marino was at the beginning of the season. And that's not a knock on the fans. That's just where he came from, out of nowhere. And he's, I'll argue with people, their most complete defenseman right now, because he has the ability to do things offensively that Chris Letang can do. Maybe he's not quite as refined offensively at this point as Letang was at the peak of his career. I'll grant you that. But he's 23, and you want a guy who can sop up minutes for you? Hand him to John Marino, by all means.
Yeah, I mean, that to me seems like the logical step that's the next one to take. Is it a contract that's tough? Yeah. Is it going to be a little bit difficult? Sure. But, you know, I just watched a series and watched where, for me, it was a little bit tough to watch Chris Letang struggle some. And I watched a team, and I watched this, I watched a league this year in a playoffs, and I watch Carlson, I watch Hedman, and I watch the kid in St. Louis, Pietrangelo, and Krug in Boston, and I watch in Colorado, Makar. Is Letang with those guys? Like, is he as good as Seth Jones right now?
I don't know if he's. I don't know, to be quite honest. I'm not going to
you know
here
I,
and try
I just
and stack him up against
name
all those
a bunch
guys,
of guys off the top of my head, but I don't. You know, and Seth Jones eats up a bunch of minutes now. I name all these guys and I say, before we would always say, Chris Letang is definitely with every, come on, what are you talking about? Is he anymore in that group?
At times he can be, at times. But I don't know if you're looking for consistency, I don't think he's that guy. Look, he's wonderfully brilliant occasionally with the puck on his stick and creating offense at times. He's also wonderfully boneheaded at times with the puck on his stick. And if Mike Sullivan is your head coach, and that's a commitment that Jim Rutherford has made, if Mike Sullivan's your head coach and this is a team that's all about playing both ends of the rink, well, then I don't know if your number one defenseman eating up all those minutes can be a guy whose risk-reward proposition just doesn't add up anymore the way it did when he was playing at his peak.
Right. Like, I just watched the series and watched Shea Weber, and people will say, well, Chris Letang's better than Shea Weber. He wasn't for a five-game series. I just watched Shea Weber do the things that he needed to do. That is a contemporary, that is someone that is about his age, that is comparative, I think, at least right now in this game, that found out what it was, or showed what it was, excuse me, to lead a blue line and make the plays that you're supposed to make and step up and score and step up and do the big things and fit into the mix of a game and the run of a game, but also stand out in the moments where you needed to stand out. I just watched that. That I'm not making that up, I don't think.
No, here's the thing about Shea Weber, and this might be the question, the harder question that Jim Rutherford has to ask himself about his blue line specifically is, do they have that kind of guy? And I don't mean, I'm talking about the kind of guy in what Weber did and what Petrie did mm-hmm. and what Sherratt did, who will stand in front of the goalie and just beat up the opposition and keep things clean in front of the crease. They still haven't found that guy. And maybe...
No.
Maybe those the guys who do that, their feet aren't quick enough to play in a Mike Sullivan system. But if we're talking about guys who fit into what Mike Sullivan wants to do, I just don't see Chris Letang's risk-reward proposition fitting into what Mike Sullivan wants to do anymore.
No, I don't know if it ever will moving forward. Jack Johnson was going to be that safe guy. I guess Pettersson to some degree can be, but it hasn't worked. I think Pettersson can grow into that a little bit, but not necessarily to that degree. We do talk a little Jack Johnson coming up next. Was something fair yesterday? Was it right, or was it a little bit over the top? We get into that in terms of what the general manager said. GMJR, as we break down his words. Jim Rutherford, GMJR, he had a lot to say yesterday. He really did. He talked about that defensive pairing that was oh so bad against the Montreal Canadiens in the series in which, well, eventually ended their season. And he seemed to kind of tilt the focus just a little bit, probably in a place that didn't make Penguins fans or a lot of Penguins fans all that happy. Here's Rutherford on the Schultz-Johnson pairing.
I know everybody picks on Jack, and they have for a long time. And I think in that pairing, Justin Schultz had a lot more to give.
UFA Justin Schultz, by the way, kicking him right in the backside as he's out the door. part of me kind of likes it, you know, kind of because we're in the controversy business, and I like that from Jim Rutherford. He's not wrong about Schultz, okay? But in saying that about Schultz, you patently make yourself look like that you're having Jack Johnson's back. It becomes an either-or proposition almost. And is that fair or unfair? I don't know. But you can vilify and demonize and crush both of those guys the same. It almost looks like you're trying to prop up Jack Johnson just a little bit to run down right. Schultz. And that doesn't play well.
Well, it just didn't make sense. To your point, they both played poorly. It doesn't have to be an either-or proposition. Like, Jim Rutherford could have acknowledged that fans probably get on Jack Johnson more than they should, while also saying, Jack and Justin just didn't have a very good series. They just weren't very good against Montreal at all. And he could have just left it at that. But it's just odd that he props up Jack Johnson while smashing Justin Schultz. And again, because of, like you said, the fact that Schultz is an unrestricted free agent, it all just looks very patently, almost like he's pandering at this point to Jack Johnson. Like, hey, buddy, it's okay. I got your back. Well, you know what? Jack Johnson wasn't good enough in that series. You don't have to protect him constantly.
Yeah, this it's just a very, very weird situation to me. Like there's something more. It almost screams that there's something more there with Schultz. Like there's something personally there with Schultz they didn't like, or preparedness, or the way that he comported himself. That's what it screams to me. But, you know, with Johnson, there's also this. Keep in mind the way that Jim Rutherford has carried himself in the past. This is a guy that's come on our airwaves on our very show and told us in the morning, Daniel Brassard is a member of our hockey team, or Derek Brassard is a member of our hockey team. He's on our hockey team. Okay, that's what it is. And then later on that night, he was gone. He could very well be propping up Jack Johnson and buy him out as soon as he can. Like,
well,
let's
or see if he can get somebody to take the contract off of his hands rather than the buyout path. You could probably argue the same thing.
He doesn't want to crush his trade value. He's not going to come out and say the guy
right.
sucked. I get that.
Right.
I understand he's not going to say Jack Johnson sucked. But everybody can see that he sucked.
Well, and again, he doesn't have to say Jack Johnson sucked. All he has to do is say, hey, Jack Johnson and Justin Schultz really did not have a great series for us. We still believe, you know, and then he can, if we're talking about protecting trade value, he can then say, well, we still think Jack Johnson can do a lot of good things for us. Much the same way he said, oh, those guys still have a lot of great hockey left in them when he was talking about Crosby, Malkin, Letang. You know what? I'd like to believe that if somebody called him up on Chris Letang, he'd listen and he'd find a way to work it out. I mean,
but I do find the truth kind of in the middle sometimes, where fans are like, he can never say Jack Johnson wasn't very good. What if he tries to trade him? Because general managers and scouts don't have film. You know what I mean? Like they're not going to watch and see that Jack Johnson, like they're not going to pick, if they're potentially going to trade for Jack Johnson, like they're not going to pick apart every single minute of everything that he did. And it's going to really hinge on what Jim Rutherford said. He's either a commodity
right.
and a piece that they want or they don't want. It's just, that's what it is. I just don't think that Jim Rutherford's words one way or the other are going to raise or are going to elevate or drop Jack Johnson's trade value. I don't think that.
No,
and I thought he was a little bit too diplomatic and looked like he was having his back just a little bit too much. When we all saw, well, Chris, we all saw he sucked, right?
He just wasn't good enough.
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.